You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Acts chapter number 3, and this morning, and it is a privilege, and we miss Pastor Treiber so much. Trust me, nobody misses Pastor Treiber more than I do right now. But it is a privilege to preach this morning, and I hope that it's a blessing to you. And if you are a visitor, you owe it to yourself to come back when Pastor Treiber is here and preaching, and he is just absolutely the best, and I love him so much. I love our church so much. It is a privilege. It is literally the privilege of my life to be able to be here at the North Valley Baptist Church and to be here and to serve alongside each and every one of you. And our church is truly the best. And we have great people, and God has blessed us with that. In Acts chapter number 3, and it's a very familiar passage of Scripture, really, today is March 16th. Which is 3:16. So I probably should have preached on John 3:16 or had John 3:16 Sunday. We missed it. We'll have to do it again in 8 years or something, whenever that comes back around. Who knows? But we'll have a great time in Acts chapter number 3 this morning, and I hope that it's a blessing to you. And I do feel like it is, everybody has, the last time that I was able to preach, everybody remembered one particular portion of that message. Had nothing to do with the Bible or anything like that. It was that my daughter wanted a dog so much. And so I thought that I'd give you a quick little update and proudly say to you, we still do not have a dog. And so I just wanted to let you know, and just to make sure that we can affirm that, and that we're standing firm in our position for now. And so we'll see how it all goes, but we have a great life. And I'll talk about my kids a little bit later on. And we have a great family, and God has blessed us so much. But Acts chapter number 3, and this passage of Scripture obviously takes place immediately following the day of Pentecost. And the day of Pentecost is a very, very famous passage of Scripture, and obviously the Holy Spirit comes through with a mighty rushing wind and fills the place and the house where they were meeting. And eventually the gospel is preached, and because of the miracle, 3,000 people were added to the church that day at the day of Pentecost. An incredible, incredible miracle was performed. In Acts chapter number 3, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1, and this event takes place. This is the next recorded event in Scripture immediately following after this great day of Pentecost. And follow along as I read, if you would. In Acts chapter number 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer." By the way, that's a good place to go right there, up into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Amen. And now we come to the first post-Pentecost event of a very young church. Peter and John entering into the temple during the ninth hour, which would have been about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and they pass this lame man sitting at the gate. And during this time, the temple would have been extremely busy. There would have been a great multitude of people coming in and going out. In verse number 2, the Bible says, "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." You know, the Bible says and describes this lame man that he was lame from his mother's womb. It was a condition that he had been burdened with his entire life. A deformity to deal with for more than, as the Bible tells us in Acts 4:22, for over 40 years. This disease one is an irreversible disorder which caused the man to not be able to walk on his own. And he had to be carried and daily laid at the temple gate to beg for alms or mercy or money from the Jews entering into the temple. And I noticed that he was at the gate called Beautiful. The lame man who was deformed and marred was sitting at the beautiful work and craftsmanship of mankind. Historians tell us that this beautiful, this gate beautiful, it was truly fitting of its name. The gate was more than 50 cubits high, and it was solid, gleaming, glistening Corinthian brass. It was adorned with such ornamentation that it put the other gates of silver and gold to shame. There was nothing to be compared to this gate that was called Beautiful. And every day, this man wallowing in his permanent condition would be laid at the steps of this stunning work of craftsmanship. It is a great representation that mankind can do some very impressive things. Mankind can build remarkable structures. Mankind can orchestrate beautiful music. Mankind can make stunning works of art. Mankind can make extraordinary machines. Mankind can complete inspiring feats of physical strength and ability. But even with all these abilities, mankind can never heal himself from his own permanent condition. The lame man, stuck in his disease, would sit every day at the steps of this beautiful, impressive feat of human engineering, constantly be reminded that there was no hope from the cure that the men that built the gate. There was no hope of a cure from the learned men. There was no hope of a cure from the religious men. There was no hope of a cure from the artistic men, or the rich men, or the political men. None of these men could heal the man from his disease that distressed his life. But the only way that this lame man could walk is through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only one who can heal mankind of his disease. Romans 3:10, the Bible says that it is written, there is no righteous, none, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, wherefore death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Men are born lame, with no standing before God. They stumble and fall through life having nothing, and even the very best person in the world, outside of Christ, is a hopeless spiritual cripple, born that way. And he lay at the gate Beautiful, and at this gorgeous gate of a dead religion, a religion that boasted of its law and righteousness, but that could do nothing for this lame man. This lame man had been lame from his birth. He had never known the ability to walk, and every single day he sat there in his deformity. And we are all sinners, and we are born that way with the sin nature of mankind. And unless we have the cure for our disease, we will spend eternity one day in a place of fire and torment, a literal hell. Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we deserve nothing but the punishment for sin. And we can find forgiveness for our sins as the gift of God through Jesus Christ. And to take the punishment for our sins. And if you have never done that, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me encourage you to make today the day of your salvation. Every single one of us are born with a sin nature. It happens to all of us. I give the illustration as I'm out and I'm talking to people, and as I go out and give people the gospel, that you never have to teach a child to sin. Am I right? You do not have to teach a child to do wrong. They know how to do that already. What do you have to do? You have to teach that child to do right. If the child's there and mom, you know, she's baking good cookies, and there's chocolate chip cookies right there that come out of the oven, and they come out and mom says, don't eat those cookies. The child, they're going to do is they're going to eat those cookies. And then as soon as they eat them, you ask them, they have chocolate all over their mouth, right? Did you eat those cookies? No, I didn't eat those cookies. Yes, of course you did. You never have to teach a child to do wrong. You have to train up a child to do right. We are all born with a sin nature, every single one of us. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned, and because of that, we deserve nothing but hell for eternity. Amen. The only way to make a cure for that disease or make a cure for sin is Jesus Christ. Amen. And what he did, and he died on the cross. And let me encourage you that as perhaps, and you're here listening in this auditorium, perhaps watching online, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, make today the day of your salvation. The man presents a perfect picture of the sinner never being able to walk from his birth. Many times in his word, God calls men to walk spiritually in his ways. But this is as impossible for the lost believer as it was impossible for this lame man to get up and physically walk. The Bible says in Exodus 18:20, Moses commanded that thou shalt teach the people the ordinances and laws and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Isaiah 2:5, God commands his people to walk in the light of the Lord. Romans 8:1, we are to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And it's utterly impossible for the unbeliever or the natural man to fulfill these commandments of God to walk in his ways, but for the saved believer, we are to get up and walk. You know, God has blessed me with three very wonderful children, Juliet, Joel, and Jennifer, and they are ages 6, 4, and 2, and it's just such an incredible time in our family right now. And I try to be there for all of their major events. I was there at every single cheerleading game that Juliet had this past year. She's in first grade, and they have this program called Junior Cheerleaders or something like that. And basically, all it does is teaches your kids to be annoying at home. That's all it really does. It's all of this clapping and all this stomping, and it's not just at the games. It's like all day, every day. And they just go through it and through the hallways. You can't walk down the hallway normally anymore. And so, but I try to be there for all of my children's events so far. And I've tried to be there. But you know, there was one event that I happened to miss out on for all three of my children. And it was, and this is, I don't know if it was me, if I was the one at home, I would have been like, okay, just slow down a little bit. Let's wait till daddy gets here, you know, let's wait. I missed out and I have not physically witnessed my children's first steps. I missed all three of them. I must not have been there. I must have been doing something. And all of a sudden they started walking on their own. And I come home one day and there they are. They're walking around the room. I said, what happened? How did this take place? You know? And so and again, if it was me and if I was the one at home and mommy wasn't around, I would have said, no, you cannot walk. Let's wait till mommy gets here. Okay. You have to wait. But that did not happen, you know. It would have been nice to know that, you know, the babies were about to walk, or you know, you could have given me like 24 hours notice or something. I would have been there. I wanted to be there for my children as they learned to walk, as they took their first steps. And you can watch the video footage, and I'm not there. And so, but I get to watch it through video, so that's no consolation. But you know, babies naturally will begin to walk on their own. It's natural. And it does take a while, and they have to learn it, but that's a natural progression for newborns to be able to eventually walk on their own. You know, it's natural for the newborn Christian to get up and to walk on his own. It's natural for us to walk, how? To walk in the Lord, to walk in his ways, to obey his commandments, to use our spiritual gift, but it's natural for us to walk. I want to point out in verse number 4, the Bible says here in Acts chapter number 3, verse number 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, and John said, look on us. You know, they did not give a casual glance towards this lame man. They stopped what they were doing, and they saw the condition of this man. Again, the temple would have been a very, very busy time during this 3 p.m., this ninth hour of the day. But, you know, out of all the busyness, out of all the everything that was going on, they stopped and they notice this lame man. You know, sometimes God puts in our way, in the busyness and hecticness of life, as life just gets extremely busy, God puts people in our way. But how often do we just walk on by and not notice them in their lost condition and see them there on the side of the road, and he would have been a permanent fixture there? And I ask myself, how many thousands, how many tens of thousands walked through the beautiful gate and never once told this man about Jesus Christ? But Peter and John, they stop, they notice this man, and they point him out, and they say that they fasten their eyes upon him. And the world, what he does is he asks alms of them. He asks for mercy, for money. And you know, it must have been very disappointing, the very first words out of Peter's mouth, right? He says, gold, silver and gold have I none. And that must have been disappointing for the man, because that's what he was looking for. He was asking for money. And if Peter had pockets, he would have turned them inside out and he would have had nothing to give the man. But he says, such as I have, give I thee. But you know, the man was asking for money. Why? Because that's all he thought he needed. You know, the world and lost sinners, they ask for fame, they ask for wealth, they ask for riches, but what they really need is redemption through Jesus Christ. The world asks for fame, but what they need is freedom from sin. The world asks for peace, but what they need is the Prince of Peace. And the world asks for joy, but they'll never find it without joy in the Lord. This world thinks they know what they want, but what they really need is Jesus Christ and the gospel. We go through life, and as God puts people in our way, they ask things of us, things that we'll never be able to give them. If I had been passing by the man, I probably would not have been able to give him any gold and silver either. But you know what? As we are not able to give the world, quote unquote, what they want, we can always give them what they need. See, we have the gospel. We have the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and we can give them what we have. We may not be able to meet all their financial needs. We may not be able to meet all of their social needs or their social wants, whatever it is, but we can always share the gospel with the lost world. And as we go through life, let us notice the sinner. Sometimes we can be like Peter and John, doing the right things and doing our religious duty on our way to the temple, and God puts people in our path so that we can give them the gospel. Let it not be said of us that we have the power of the Holy Spirit residing within us, and yet we fail to take the chance of giving others the redeeming news that Jesus saves. You know, there's an incident is told of the early Catholic Church, and there was a St. Thomas Aquinas. St. Thomas Aquinas, a very famous saint in the Catholic Church, he walked in one day on the Pope, Innocent II. The Pope was counting his money there in the room, and St. Thomas Aquinas, realizing that he had walked into something that was very private, he started to turn away and he started to leave the room. You know, the Pope said, "It can no longer be said of the church, silver and gold have I none." St. Thomas Aquinas, as he continued to exit out of the room, said, "It also can be said that the church can no longer heal the impotent man." And you know, sometimes, even as we as Christians, we do not have the power of the Holy Spirit resting upon us so that we may be able to say, "Hey, maybe I do have silver and gold." That's not what the world needs. The world does not need the riches of this world. The world needs the redeeming knowledge of Jesus Christ. And let it be said of us that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to give it to them. Verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, if I draw your attention back to Scripture, then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And unlike the newborn or the toddler, the lame man didn't have to wait months or years to be able to walk. He was able to do so right away. He was healed of his condition at the moment of salvation. We are also healed from our condition of sin. And yes, we'll have to battle the flesh continually, but our ability to walk in the Spirit and to follow God's commands are immediately, and there's nothing holding us back any longer. And verse number 8 is really where God spoke to me in this passage of Scripture. I want us to draw our attention to this in just the last few moments that we have here this morning, and I want to be on Brother Kissel's good side, so we'll go to lunch a little bit early today. But as we notice here in verse number 8, what happens with this lame man? After he's healed, what does he do? In verse number 8, the Bible says, "And he leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." You know, look how it describes how the lame man got up. It says that he leaped up. It wasn't this slow, gradual, you know, I guess I can stand, I guess I can walk. No, this man leaped up. He right away, he began to use his abilities that Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, had healed him of his condition. He used those right away. He leaped up. He got up right away. He didn't waste any time. He started using this new ability that he had been given by God. He didn't want to sit around anymore. He didn't want to lay around anymore. He didn't want to be carried around anymore. He leaped up to his feet as soon as he could. And this lame man was given a marvelous opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ in his healed condition to get up and to walk. And there are far too many Christians who are too content with having the ability to walk, yet we decide to remain sitting down, to squander the ability that Christ has given to us. And there are many Christians that have the ability to walk in the Spirit and to grow, and yet still we decide to sit, and yet still we decide to lay down, and yet still we decide to be carried from place to place. And we decide that, hey, it's a lot easier. It's hard to walk. It's hard to leap. It's hard to get up. It's much easier for me to get spiritually spoon-fed by adult Christians, and I get carried around from place to place. And this lame man could have said, it's a lot easier for me to just sit down. It's just a lot easier for me to just lay down. But this man didn't waste his opportunity. This man did not waste his new ability. He got up. He leapt up. He started using it right away. And that's what we as Christians also need to do. It's not that we have been saved to sit. It's that we've been saved to tell others about the Jesus Christ and to spread the gospel to a lost and dying world. Let it not be said of us that we wasted the ability to walk. You know, several weeks ago, I was able to take our family to the snow. And we went to a snow play area. And really, the real reason we went to the snow was because my parents were paying. So we went to the snow. I thought it was great. And the kids all came along. And that's the way to take kids to the snow. Just have a ton of extra adults. So you're not like, you're not outnumbered, you know? And so we were there at the snow. We were playing. We were having a good time. And at the snow play, they had two hills. They had a little smaller hill. And they had a bigger hill with, well, it was actually pretty steep. And in order to go down the hill, they had all of these inner tubes, and the inner tubes had some handles, and then it had this rope attached to the inner tube that you were able to pull the tubes as you go along, because it's hard to hold them, especially for little kids. And so little kids are able to hold on to that tug or whatever that rope is, and to pull their tube around the snow play area. And as we got going on and longer in the day and longer in the day, you know what ended up happening? I started pulling a whole lot of tubes. I was pulling tubes that kids weren't even mine. I was pulling them around, you know? And so, but one of the things, and that we had a great time, we're going down the hill, and several times, and their most fun was when we'd all pile together and we'd link all of our like 8 tubes together in one huge mass of something. I don't know. If we had tumbled, they would have been all over for all of us. But we had a great time. But you know, they had the larger hill, and the larger hill was for a little bit of a bigger kids. And one of the my son Joel, who's only 4, he wanted to go down the larger hill, the bigger hill. And I was very proud of him, because oftentimes he doesn't really step out of his comfort zone, so to say, and he knows what he likes. And so, but I was very proud of him. So I said, yeah, let's go do the bigger hill. Let's go do it together. And we got there, and we found out that he didn't have the right tag. So we had to go back to the front desk and get him the right tag, and they had to measure him, make sure he was right. He was like right there at the height. He was barely there. And then they asked him, how old is he? And I was like, well, he's 4. Oh, yeah, we really like it to only be 5-year-olds. You know, I'm just like standing there like, but you can make an exception, right? You know, that kind of attitude. And so, and they did, and they said, you know, but the only thing is, he has to be able to pull his own tube. And the reason for that is that they, at the very end of the slope, in the very, very long aisle that they had there in the very end of the hill, they have to be able to get out of the tube by themselves and pull the tube by themselves. They have to do it all on their own. And they have to do that, and that's one of the requirements. So, well, yeah, that's fine. He can do all of that. And so we got on the lift. And by the way, the snow plays today are not like they were when I grew up. I'll tell you that. We used to carry, they didn't have the little tug things that you were able to pull around. You had to grab the tube, you know, under the arm like this, and you're trudging up the whole hill, walking uphill both ways in the snow, you know what I'm talking about? Yep. And so, yeah, but now they have these nice little conveyor belts that just like go up on a screen. And for the bigger hill, they had this little hook and pulley system. And so it was so humiliating, me as a grown man. They're just like, okay, turn around. They put the tube on the ground. They put the hook there. And I have to sit down backwards. I'm just sitting there, you know, like this. And then the tube, the thing gets caught in the hook. And it starts to pull me up the hill, and the entire hill, you know, you're just like sitting there like, don't get out of the tube. Don't do anything, because you don't want to get thrown out. And so it's just humiliating for as an adult. But it was a good time. We finally get all the way to the top of the hill. And we're there, and we finally get to the lane that we want to go down. And I was very proud of Joel. He did a great job. And he was so excited, and he got in there. We took some pictures on the top of the hill, and we pushed him down. He did a great job. Nothing, you think I'm going to end the story that he toppled over and fell, but he didn't. He did awesome. And he went to the very end, and then he got out of his own tube and started to pull his own tube and started to go again. You know, I was very proud of him as a dad. I said, he's basically grown up, you know. He's already there, and I was very proud of him. But you know what? As Christians, sometimes we like to get pulled around. We like to ride on other adult Christians' efforts. We like to sometimes, and myself, I'm guilty of this at times, to come to a church service and I need to be spiritually fed. Well, hey, we should be spiritually fed every day of the week. We on our own should be able to walk, spiritually speaking. We as Christians should be able to grow. We have been given that ability to develop. And even as a physical newborn develops and grows and progresses, so we too as spiritual Christians grow and progress and develop. And we don't have to be pulled around anymore. And we don't have to be carried from place to place. Let it not be said that we have the ability to walk, that we have the ability to grow in God and grow in grace, and yet we wander, squander it and waste it away. Let it be said of us that we leaped up. And then I'll point out very quickly, and secondly, in the verse number 8, he leaping up, he stood up right away. And then next, he leaping up, what did he do? He stood. He stood. He used his abilities right away to stand, getting grounded and established so that he could eventually take his next steps. Babies do learn how to stand up before they ever learn how to walk. And we also as Christians should be rooted and grounded in the truth. Colossians 2:16 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up, and established in the faith as ye have been taught. And before we ever walk and accomplish great things for God, we first have to be able to stand. We have to be prepared to stand for some things, to be sure and unwavering about the Christian faith, to stand for the scriptures that we can trust our Bible, to stand for soul winning that God desires that all the world would come to repentance, to stand for the sanctuary, the house of God and its importance, to stand for separation that there are things in this world that are righteous and there are things in this world that are not righteous. You know, there was a great saying that was said to me that has stuck with me in my entire life. Things that are different are not the same. Things that are different are not the same. If there is a difference, they are not the same. Hey, men and women, the world will tell you they're the same. Let me tell you, they're not the same. There's a difference there. And the things of this world and the things of Christ, they are not the same. No matter how much people want to tell you, hey, the music, it's basically the same. It's not the same. If they want to tell you that the dress is the same, hey, it's not the same. Things that are different are not the same. And let me tell you this, if there is a worldly lifestyle, if we can all agree that there is a worldly lifestyle and that there's worldly music and that there's worldly dress, my question then is, where do we draw the line? Where is that worldly dress? If there is worldly music, where is that worldly music? And if there is worldly music, let me tell you this, there's also godly music. And I can tell you this, they are not the same. We have to be able to stand for some things. Next, what he did, he leaped up, he stood. What did he do next? He walked. He used this ability that he had been given to walk. And each of us as a spiritual newborn, as Christians, once we have been saved, we have been given a spiritual gift to be able to grow in the Lord and use that spiritual gift for the furtherance of the gospel. We have to be using that gift, not just lying around. Let us use the gift of God in the work of the Lord. He walked. Then what did he do next? He entered with them into the temple. He went to the house of God. The very first place that he used his feet to go was God's house. He didn't go to the park. He didn't go to the shops. He didn't go to the garden. He didn't go outside the city. What he did is he went to the house of God. That's a great place to go. He leaped up, he stood, he walked, he entered the temple. Then what did he do? He was walking and leaping. He was excited. He was ecstatic. Hey, his life has been changed forever. He would never again have to be lame on the side of the road. He had the ability now to walk and his life had been changed. He was excited. And what do? He was not afraid to show everybody what he was able to do. He was so excited. He was leaping around and he was jumping for joy. And he was excited about this new ability. Have we lost our excitement?
Yeah, come on.
Have we lost our joy?
Yeah,
hey, we have been eternally changed. Yeah, our destination no longer has to be in hell, but we get to be saved forever in heaven.
Amen.
Let me encourage you, be excited about it.
Amen.
Be excited. Be in the joy of the Lord. Let other people know he was not ashamed. He was not ashamed of this new ability. The Bible says that all the whole crowd recognized that it was the lame man. He saw them and he was not ashamed of what Christ had done in his life. And for us, we should not be ashamed of what Christ has done in our life. God has done a mighty work and a marvelous work, and he has changed our life forever. Let's be excited about it. Let's be filled with joy. Be ecstatic about what God has done in our life. And here's what happened. The crowd recognized what had taken place in his life. And what does it say? The very, very last phrase of verse number 8. What does it say? And praising God. The lame man gave all glory and honor to God. Amen. He didn't say, look at what these men did. And Peter, if he had been a prideful man, could have said, look what I did. Look at the amazing things that I've done. But everywhere you find in the Bible that Peter does an amazing work, a miracle, you always find it pointing back to God. You find him healing the lame man here. He pointed it back to God. He even said in verse number 6, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And then he preaches for the rest of chapter 3 and chapter 4, and he gives all honor and glory to God. He does these marvelous miracles, and Peter, he raises up somebody from the dead. And what does the Bible say? It says that many believed in the Lord. He gave all glory and honor to God, that these miracles had been performed and great things had taken place. And the lame man was praising God. Amen. He gave all the honor and glory to God. Amen. I cannot adequately describe to you how much honor and praise our God deserves. I do not have the ability to adequately describe and tell you how much God deserves. But let me tell you this, with everything that we have, let's honor God. With everything that we say, let's honor God. With everything that we do, let us honor God. Amen. And here's what happened. Turn with me in Acts chapter number 4, verse number 22. Acts chapter number 4, verse number 4. Here's what happens. This is the first post-Pentecost event that takes place. The amazing working of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people were saved. And here's what happens. Because of the actions of a lame man, because of the reaction of the miraculous work that had taken place in this quote-unquote newborn Christian, here's what happens. Verse number 4. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. Am I reading this right? The number of the men was about 5,000. 5,000! If we think the day of Pentecost was big, if we think the day of Pentecost was the pinnacle of the church, let me tell you this, there were more saved because of this lame man than there ever was at the day of Pentecost. This lame man, because of his actions, because of his reactions, because he gave all honor and glory to God, Peter was able to preach the word, and many believed, and the men who were saved was 5,000. You know, it doesn't take a seasoned Christian of God to be able to do miraculous works. God can use any of us.
Amen.
God can do amazing things with a lame man who was just moments ago sitting at the side of the road asking for money. And yet God decides, through this man, I'm going to do a miraculous work.
Praise the Lord.
But the actions of this lame man is what leads to God being able to work in the life of this early church. The 5,000 people were saved. And let it be said of us, we have now the completed word of God. We have the Holy Spirit residing within us. You know that these miraculous stories, the saving of 5,000 people, it just doesn't have to take place in the Bible.
Amen.
God still does a saving work today. God still does miraculous works today. And you know what? You may say, I have nothing to offer. I'm just a lame man sitting on the side of the road. But God can do something great through you. Let it be said of us that we are not wasting our ability to walk, that we leap up with joy and excitement and being proud of what God has done in our life, that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, as Paul says, that we are excited about what God is doing in our life. To the Christian, to the young Christian, don't waste your ability to walk and to grow. Let us walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Let us grow in grace. Amen. To the saved Christian who's been a seasoned Christian, perhaps, don't lose that joy.
Amen.
Keep that excitement alive. The crowds were formed because why? He was excited. And then to the lost person, perhaps you've never been saved. Perhaps that miraculous work has not taken place in your life just yet. Let me encourage you today. Make today the day of your salvation.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.